Welcome to Silo Busting. I'm your host, Mo Banjoko, a senior manager in the financial services consulting practice at EPAM. Every entrepreneur's dream is to build a product that will sell itself. This means that the product solves a specific customer problem and it's easy and intuitive to use. The hardest part, in my opinion, is the easy-to-use bit. A lot of times, companies over-engineer solutions that end up, at best, frustrating their potential customers, and at worst, lead to low adoption rates. In this episode of Take It to the Bank, EPAM's Alex Jimenez sits down with John Findlay, CEO of Lemonade LXP, to discuss the use of gamification as a tool to make frontline financial services workers more fluent in their organization's digital capabilities, enabling them to better service their customers. Findlay's and Lemonade LXP's goal is to ensure when banks engage in the process of digital transformation, changes are better embraced and adopted throughout the organization while also empowering their frontline employees to be better client advisors. In most digital transformation journeys, emphasis is typically placed on the customer experience, but it should be noted that the employee experience is just as important. Transformation is a team sport, and all players need to play along, especially when it comes to the adoption and widespread use of new software. Gamification allows for a fun and interactive way for employees to familiarize themselves with new ways of working. And at the end of the day, the better trained staff are on new digital software, the better staff can support customers and drive adoption rates. The end result? Happy customers are less inclined to change banks, and lower churn is optimal for business. Let's have a listen.
So John, we met many, many years ago when I had a very specific need where I was working at a bank, looking to figure out how we could let our customers understand what the new digital banking system that we were rolling out was going to look like. And it seemed like a revolutionary idea, which, you know, if you look at it from a different angle, it doesn't seem so revolutionary, but we always think that we have the best CX, the best customer experience when we roll out a system and we just put it out and expect people to understand it because we had some amazing designers who designed this system. Why do we do that, and how is it that you came up with the idea for your platform?
Well, the first question, why do we do that? I mean, I think inherently we all want to believe that we build software that's intuitive, that people will easily understand and easily get up to speed on quickly. The challenge is, and I think that optimism is born out of seeing products like amazing products like the iPhone and iPad. And what's forgotten is that Apple had trillions of dollars to invest in UX to ensure that those are truly the easiest OSs to learn in the world. And we don't all have pockets that deep and that much resources to help us refine our UX so that it is, guide-free learning, if you will. So I think that's one of the challenges. And then I think it's also unique in financial services, because you don't worry as much about making a mistake setting up iTunes on your iPhone or setting up an app on your iPhone. But if you make a mistake in your live bank account, that's worrisome. And so the adoption aversion and the challenge for people to become fully digital customers is a much greater one with financial technology. So I think that is kind of the crux of that challenge, is that you can build tech, but rolling it out to customers is going to require some assistance, a little bit of hand-holding, and you need to make people feel comfortable in the technology. So I didn't know that when we started Lemonade. Lemonade actually is a spinoff of another company that I started way back when. And the other company built digital promotions to educate consumers. We built Lemonade because one of our customers, which was TD Bank, was rolling out new technology and asked us if we could help. And when we looked at their challenge, we thought, well, the folks who aren't using their new technology, where are they? They're coming into branches and calling their contact centers. So the best way to promote that technology is through your front line. Because if you run an advertising campaign, how do you advertise only to your customers, unless you're advertising just like your email database? But to do paid media, it's very difficult to target just your customers, who are the people that are potential targets for adoption. So the best way to drive adoption is through your front line. But what we've learned is that at about 70% of financial institutions, staff don't have to bank with their employer. So if they don't bank with you, they don't use their tech. And if they don't use your tech, then there's no way they can have customer conversations about it. So when we learned that, we realized that we could leverage some of the technology. We were building what we called game-based digital promotions to educate consumers. Well, we could leverage that technology and build an education system for frontline staff at financial institutions to drive digital fluency. And so we didn't come up with the idea. Really the market showed us the way. And so that's kind of what birthed the product.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say a lot of people at banks don't bank with their own bank, and nothing is more off-putting than sitting down at a branch with someone. Let's say you're applying for a mortgage, and they pull up your competitor's website to figure out what your monthly payment's going to be because they have a better calculator than you do on the website. And it's a similar thing on digital banking. I can't tell you how many times when I talk to people out in the front lines, whether a branch or a call center, and a customer had a question about digital banking, and they said, well, you know, this is the way it works at XYZ, a competitor where they bank. And it's amazing how we don't make it so our own employees are using our own systems so they can support the clients, and you're expecting them to be able to support them. The other idea is that, gee, a branch person is never going to have to talk to someone about a mobile app because, you know, a mobile app customer is not the same customer that works at a branch, which, you know, we all know is not true. And so your systems like your platform are fantastic to get the word out and have people understand what is being offered. I'm a big fan of what you do. But it seems a lot of organizations don't think through that process, right? They said, okay, we're either going to change our digital banking platform or we're going to build one. And it isn't until later when they have issues after they roll it out that they give you a call and say, can you help us? Because either we're not getting enough people signing on to the system, or there are so many issues because people don't understand our experience.
You know, it's interesting, Alex. We run webinars fairly frequently. As part of our webinars, we always ask survey questions. We ask two survey questions every single time. We ask bankers, how fluent is your frontline staff on your digital capabilities? And only 4% say they're frontline or experts. The next question we ask them is, how effective are your technology providers at helping you train your frontline and support customers on the tech they sell to you? So how effective are your fintechs at helping you drive adoption and train staff? And 75% say mediocre or bad. So that's the hole in the market that we're filling. And it's a really important one, because where the future of banking is digital, and we all know the branch is transforming. The branch is going to increasingly become more of an advisory service than it is transactional, because more and more transactions are migrating to digital. So as digital becomes the pervasive way that people will bank moving forward, it can be a competitive advantage or a disadvantage for a financial institution. I'm always amazed. So if you think about making the decisions, for example, to choosing a new bank, Well, you're not just choosing an institution with which you're going to conduct business over the next long term. You're also choosing a technology you're going to use for a long time. And yet, very few financial institutions let people try the tech before they commit to the bank. And that to me is kind of a crazy thing, because it's like, well, you're saying, let's get into this essentially this marriage together, but I'm not going to show you the way that you're going to work with me on the majority of transactions. Kind of crazy, right? So, and then I think as a customer, you wonder, well, how serious is this bank about digital? If they're not doing anything on their website to help me use it, they're not showing it to me in the courtship process. So I think that's part of the thing that surprises me. But I think it's natural because this is an evolution or a transformation that's going on. And so much of the focus is on making sure you get good tech and that the tech works. And not enough focus is put on the people who are meant to use it. But that's common, right? And I think the next step in the evolution is, okay, the tech's solid. We know our tech's good. Now we've got to make sure that our customers have a great experience using it. But I also think super important is that our employees have a good experience promoting and supporting it. Because go ahead.
No, and it's not just the front office too. I remember a few years ago when I was at a bank, we were talking to our executives about some investments that we're making on to extend our digital platform. And one of them stopped us, one of our executives stopped us and said, wait, before we start talking about all this highfalutin stuff that you want to roll out, why don't we roll out things that everybody else has? Why can we have mobile deposit on our system? And then I looked around the table and everyone was flabbergasted because we've had mobile deposits for a decade. This gentleman, who was one of our executives, had no clue that we actually had the capability, and it was a capability that had been there for a long time. So it's not just the front office. If your executives are not good champions for your dominant business model, which now is digital, how do you think you're going to fare out in the market, right?
Yeah, transformation is a team sport, right? Everybody's, and it comes from the top. Executives have to be behind it. Just like any major change initiative in any organization, if your executives aren't behind it and aren't contributing to being the driving force behind it, it's probably not going to be that successful. It's interesting, you know, the other thing I was thinking about, because I had to open bank accounts for my kids a couple of years ago. And as part of the process, I looked at a bunch of financial institutions because I was like, oh, this is a good time to sort of do a review of what's out there. And the financial institutions that I looked at, none of them had the ability to look at their tech prior to making a decision. So what did I do? I got them bank accounts at the bank I'm with because I knew the tech. And I didn't want to be tech support for my kids on some new technology when they're trying to do their finances. I didn't want to have that burden. And I knew that if I just go with my bank, it's going to be that much easier. So your digital capabilities and your online and mobile banking can be a catalyst for customer loyalty and for new customer acquisition through generations, which is I hadn't thought about that until it happened to me. And I think that's an untapped piece of digital, realizing that nobody likes to learn new tech. Mm-hmm. So get them into your tech, get them fluent, try to get them to be as completely digital customers as you can. And then the resistance to changing financial institutions becomes far greater.
Yeah. And it's important for a bank right now, given, you know, we have some very iffy economy, right? That we want to do the most that we can for our customers to keep them happy. And not just your customers, your employees, right? To keep them happy with the bank. And you know, the thinking through the impact of the digital transformation to both customers and employees and how you can support them. Because at the end of the day, without them, you can put all the technology you want if you're not
supporting the people, then there's no point of putting more technology out.
Well, I think the big thing is people are the driver of ROI in those tech investments. And if you can invest as much as you want, people don't use it, there's no ROI there. And we all know how much money is saved when people bank digitally instead of coming into branch. And so the ROI is driven by driving transactions towards digital. But, you know, you touched on something there, Alex, that I find is often overlooked, and that's the employee experience. So employees will often sort of perceive that rolling out digital banking capabilities is going to make them obsolete. And I think FIs need to do a great job of letting employees know that, in fact, if you become digital experts, you become more valuable to the financial institution. So that's the first piece, sort of taking away that fear that they're going to be replaced by tech. But then the next piece is, what's their day-to-day look like? I mean, if you're meant to support a technology that you don't understand, you don't use, and you're not fluent in, that creates a stressful day, especially if you're a contact center or even branch. You know, people calling you with frustrated not being able to use technology, and you have no experience with the tech, no tools to help them, that's where you're going to see large attrition, and that's expensive.
Yeah.
So I think there's so many, it's like, it all ties into, to me, an ROI equation, which is, if we nail our digital customer experience, we drive loyalty from both our customers and our employees, but we also reduce costs in day-to-day business because people are transacting digitally, not walking into branches. So it comes a snowball thing of ROI, and it's all driven by making sure that you're providing a great digital customer experience, growing that digital banking business, and providing a great digital employee experience. So those things together combine to digital growth and profit growth, and I think that's the part that needs to be sort of more broadly understood.
Yeah. The other part that I like about your platform is the gamification. And, you know, years ago, when we started using that word around financial services, everyone was thinking about where would gamification actually impact what we do? And I think this is a perfect place for that. I think I relate to you the story that I heard of an executive who was the least tech savvy of the group, but when the platform was rolled out, and they were and he could show the rest of the executive team that he was going to get the most points by going through all the training, by getting all the badges, etc. That he actually took the time to do it, and then boasted about it during an executive team meeting to say, look, you know, you're always making fun of me because I'm the least tech savvy of the organization, but look, I beat everybody. I'm the leader in the whole organization on this learning tool. And I think that's so interesting about how you take someone who is not interested in this topic, doesn't see it as being impactful for his job because he knows the head of a unit that, you know, I forget it. I think it was head of mortgage. And then suddenly, you know, now he's a champion of the system, understands how it works, and has sort of changed it all around. But it's all because of gamification.
You know, it's funny. We had a similar experience with one of our FI clients. So they rolled the program out, and there's grouping functionality in Lemonade, so you can group people by department or by branch or whatever. And so they created a group for executives. And so there's a group high score page. So staff are in there training, whatever. But what they saw was that the executives were all at the top of the leaderboard and playing the most. And so staff started to reach out to training and say, well, what are the executives working like? What's going on? It can be a really powerful tool in that respect. But another thing that sort of ties into the executive stuff, when we rolled out Lemonade at National Australia Bank, they did a really cool thing. They actually got their executives to take training in Lemonade and then create videos about their training experience and share it out with staff members. So there was that was an example. We talked about how the leaders need to be involved and need to be a driving force behind your transformation. That was one of the coolest examples that I'd seen, because the NAB leader said, look, it's really important to us that our staff take this training and become fluent. And so they led by starting the training themselves and then doing these little videos. And I thought that was really impactful because it sort of led from the top, you know?
Yep. Yep. And on the customer side, the platform also does the same thing for a customer, right? They helps you walk through the process and understand the technology, just as you said, before you buy.
Yeah.
Or in a case of, you know, when you're changing, like the example I gave, we're going from a really old system where things didn't work so great, and we're moving to a fantastic system where everybody thinks that it's going to be easy to understand, but yet customers had a difficult time to make that jump. This tool is very powerful in that as well.
Yeah, so it's like the fastest tool in the world for creating walkthroughs of your technology, and then you can also create a branded searchable online hub to house them so that customers can use them when they need them. You can link it off your website. Customers can use it on demand and don't have to call your contact centers. But contact center agents can also use it, pull up a walkthrough to quickly help a customer get through a transaction, shorten talk time, improve the customer experience, and de-stress that agent experience. So that's that customer-facing piece has been popular amongst our FI customers, because creating walkthroughs is expensive. Usually people do it with either like videos, or the ones that aren't doing all that well kind of have like a PDF or like an old VCR manual online, and you know, nobody wants to read those. So that we built to help with you know, really customer enablement, customer activation, and I think that's a key part of it as well. It's a letting them try it before they buy, but also imagine, like, for example, a new customer joins your financial institution. How cool is it to be able to send them a link to the 20 most common transactions customers do in the first 30 days? And so it's a link that to a page that has those 20 walkthroughs of those 20 transactions. That's the kind of welcoming party you want to have for new customers, where you usher them into your digital banking capability so that it's easy for them to start on day one. They don't have to call your contact center or come into branch. And so there's a lot of different ways people are using that tool, which we call Digital Academy. Our customers are using it in ways we hadn't even dreamt of. So it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, have you seen organizations actually use it with products that are not the not a digital experience, just actually as introducing a product?
Yep. And we even had people creating walkthroughs of the PPP form during COVID.
Oh,
because they were getting slammed, right? Of like, you know, people, how do I fill out this form? So they created a walkthrough that walked you through exactly how to fill out the PPP form. So that was really cool. Like, it's amazing when you put a product out in the wild, what customers will do with it that you never dreamt of. It's kind of cool that way. I like seeing that.
Yeah. It's funny, when I see, you know, I have many accounts within different organizations, given what I do, but, you know, when I go to use a fintech or a neobank system or platform, generally it's better designed than a bank, a digital bank from a standard bank, but not always. I mean, I see a lot of fintechs who are very much about, you know, we understand user experience. We are better than banks in that, and we don't need these sort of tools. But talk to me about how fintechs use your tool, and it's not just the traditional banks.
Yeah. So, fintechs, we've just started to get good traction with fintechs, and a lot of what they're using us for is new customer implementations. So, you know, traditionally, some fintechs have been, you know, the send an actual trainer out to the branches and train the trainer, and then the trainer trains staff. But we all know that's kind of like the telephone game. A bunch of stuff is going to get lost in translation. But more importantly, it's expensive, time consuming, and not scalable. So we have a couple of fintechs now who are using us for new customer rollouts, where they roll out a certification program in Lemonade to certify frontline staff at their customer financial institution on their technology so staff can have customer conversations about it, can support it and all that stuff. And then they use the Digital Academy to support that FI's end users or that FI's customers. So the new implementation is a, it's interesting, Alex. Yeah, we've been banging on fintech doors for a couple of years because we know we have the best platform for this. But largely it's fallen on deaf ears, but we're just starting to have some, get some traction now from the fintechs. But I know that, you know, as part of the negotiation process, when a bank's deciding on which fintech it's going to use, one of the questions they're going to ask is, how are you going to help us roll this out? And I know we can be a competitive advantage because the banks are buying directly from us because they love it so much, because they don't have the fintechs, doesn't have that. So I think it's just going to take a couple of the larger guys to jump on board that will really help us accelerate that fintech piece, because I mean, that's what the platform's geared for. It's really geared to teach both staff and customers about new technology rolling out.
Yeah. I'm a big fan also of the how it can be a tool for the contact center agent. And I know you mentioned that before, and not in banking, but I've experienced that with other contact centers in other industries, whether they can walk you through something. But I have yet to see that actually being in practice. And until you said it, I hadn't thought about that using your tool in that way.
Yeah.
Is that also a growing use or?
Yeah, it's, you know, again, something that clients really showed us the way on that. So imagine you're a contact center agent. Somebody calls you up and says, you know, I'm having trouble sending money to my kid at university. As an agent, I can go to the Digital Academy and search, e-transfer, or I can search Zelle or whatever I'm using to pay. I can pull up that walkthrough, and then I can say, where specifically are you having trouble? And I can go and select the exact screen they're having trouble on so that I can tell them precisely what they need to do next and walk them through the remainder of the transaction. So what that does is shorten that talk time and improve the customer experience and make the agent experience a lot less stressful. And then what I can also do is I can email them a direct link to that walkthrough so that when they go to send money to their kid again next month and they've forgotten, it's right there to help them and they don't have to call the contact centers, thereby reducing call volumes. We've been able to, for a couple of customers, we've been able to reduce talk time by around 30%. And we've been able to reduce call volumes by in and around 10%. So it's been, but again, not something we envisioned for it. Just a customer saw that and said, oh, we can use it this way. And so now we've got a number of customers using it for contact center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And funny enough, I mean, if you use it at the contact center, you can probably use it at the branch as well.
Yep. And that was one of the first use cases. So TD had a program where they had what they called concierge. So people come in the branch, and if they were in line, a concierge would come out with an iPad and say, what are you here to do today? Oh, I'm here to deposit a check. Let me show you how easy that would have been digital. So they pull up the iPad because our Digital Academy is accessible on any device. Mm-hmm. It auto scales and whatever. So they just pull out the iPad and walk them through how to do a deposit on mobile. And, you know, in some cases, the person would just do it right then and there and get out of the line and they're done. And that's effective conversion of a customer, right? Because here they were standing in line waiting for another bunch of minutes before they could do their transaction. This person came out, walked them through it, transaction done. They're probably not going to come back in to do that transaction again. So there's a lot of cool things. And I still think there's tons of use cases out there that we haven't discovered. Here's an example. One of our customers called us and said, people are dropping off the walkthroughs. And we said, well, that kind of makes sense because if once we solve the problem they're having, they're probably not going to go through the remainder of the walkthrough. Their problem's solved. They'll go finish their transaction in the live environment. And then 2 weeks later, we were chatting with them on a regular call. And they said, after we chatted, we realized, oh, if we have analytics set up, tracking set up that allows us to see commonality in the screens people drop off on. And by doing that, we're able to identify UX issues in our tech. And we were like, wow, that's super cool. We didn't think of that at all. So you know, like I said, once you get a software into the wild, people do amazing things with it.
Right. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's cool. But you know what I think is, you know what's the most exciting part for us is that I believe that this transformation that's going on in the banking industry, even though it feels like it's been going on for a long time, it's still fairly early days. Like there's still new technology coming out all the time, and there's still changing customer habits. We saw how much it changed during COVID, and then how much it changed as COVID ended. And it's ever evolving. So for us, trying to help FI solve these problems, they're constantly new challenges, all born out of the same thing, this change, you know? But ultimately, there's just constant new challenges to solve, which is kind of makes it fun.
Yep. Yeah. Well, John, it was great chatting with you, and I'm sure we could go on for more time, but maybe we'll do a second part someday. But thank you so much for joining us, and have a great day.
Well, thanks, Alex, and thanks to the EPAN team for having me on. I really appreciate it.
This has been Silo Busting, a podcast from EPAM Continuum. EPAM Continuum integrates business, experience, and technology consulting focused on accelerating breakthrough ideas into meaningful impact. Why do we do this? Because real opportunities aren't siloed. Thanks to John Finley and Alex Jimenez for the great conversation. Cheers to Kip Pilalas, our sound engineer extraordinaire, for getting this podcast recorded. Applause to Scott McAllister, our producer, and Ken Gordon, our executive producer, for all their masterminding behind the scenes. I'm your host, Mo Banjoko. Thank you for listening.